The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports. Sports.
Sports.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and it's day two and Bill O'Brien is still dead. Unfortunately, so is Eddie Van Halen. So let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975. And it's Tuesday, gonna have some fun today. The Astros just gave up a home run, so 1-0 Oakland in the second inning. So, yeah, Aaron, can we, I know it's Local Music Tuesday, but can we just do Van Halen bumper today?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean,
He's your number one all time.
He is, and I was talking with Josh about this a little bit, but I think the most influential guitarist of all time. I think the other guy you can make a case for is Jimi Hendrix, but as a kid in the 80s who wanted to be a rock star and play guitar, if you didn't want to be Eddie Van Halen, you're lying right now. He was the guy for that era. And he really changed everything with the way, you know, with the tapping and everything else. And an amazing talent, and sad to see him go, but I know he's been battling cancer for a while.
Throat cancer, right?
Yeah. And, I'm kind of glad now that I got to see them the last time they came through here with David Lee Roth. And his kid was playing bass for him. And, it was the greatest show I've ever seen. But it was, I'm glad I got to go because, obviously, yeah, to quote Van Halen, you can't get this stuff no more.
That's true. That's facts, man. Most influential. I suppose he'd certainly be in the discussion. I would argue a case for the B.B. Kings and Chuck Berrys of the world too in that discussion. Although, I mean, I guess they, for whatever reason, the black guitarist is often forgotten besides Hendrix because he played the white man's music.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
guys like B.B. King and the Big Cat, people like that were certainly extremely influential on blues. I think the one thing that sort of separates here is that, you know, Eddie Van Halen was influential. It kind of transcended rock to the point where
you could say Eddie Van Halen was probably greatly influenced by Eric Clapton.
Not so much Eric Clapton. I think he was more Jimmy Page and guys like that.
Okay.
And Clapton was more influenced by the blues guys.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It goes blues to, and it,
yeah,
it, but yeah.
But I would say B.B. King.
I think those Chuck Berry and B.B. King, those guys go back to, almost everything comes from them, from guitar.
Chuck Berry, I never thought of as a great guitarist, though. B.B. King was a fantastic blues guitarist, fantastic lead guitarist.
Chuck Berry, though, was the first to, like, start sing, play,
right,
write his own music. He was, right, like, the first musically, real rock and roll
I'd
guy.
I'd say musically very influential. But yeah. But as far as playing guitar, there's also some things that Eddie Van Halen did that if you didn't play, you didn't really understand in terms of everybody hears the Eruption and hears these great solos, yeah, and thinks, wow, that dude played some chords that you had to be a contortionist to play. I mean, some of the stuff that was the hardest thing when, and I always judge by how good you are and how hard it is to play your stuff. And while I could always figure out his leads eventually, some of those chords, I mean, my hand wouldn't go that way. It was just amazing. That was kind of the guitar era for rock. And I don't want to include all the other genres in it. But that he was the guy.
It was the masturbatory guitar era.
It was.
Like for the big long solo and everybody looking
at me. Yeah, I mean, and that kind of started in the 70s, but then but a guy like Eddie Van Halen is the reason that all these other cats did 30-minute solos.
Yes.
Because he could do that 30-minute solo and you're mesmerized. And then, you know, Bob from Hairband does it and you're like, eh, cool. Yeah, nice. I'm going to go get a beer and pee. So, I'm a big influence of mine, obviously, when I was trying to be a rock star. And
I'm a big fan.
And I am, it's nothing Josh was talking about. I still liked Van Hagar, too. Because I was a Sammy Hagar fan before he went to Van Halen. And so I liked both iterations because I think they were different bands. And I also think, David Lee Roth's solo career was pretty damn good, too, because he worked with some guys like Steve Vai, who I also think is just an amazing guitarist. So I don't think the split was a bad thing. But overall, though, I mean, it's,
one of the greats, in my opinion. Obviously they haven't been, they're not touring lately. Number 8 on Rolling Stone's all-time greatest guitarist list, which you could argue is low. I mean,
honestly, to me, he's no lower than the top 5, but it depends on what criteria you use. And that's why, you know, when I did my list, I went and pulled a bunch of different things. And mine was specifically rock guitarists, too. But he influenced all of the 80s hairband guitarists, every single one of them.
I don't disagree at all. And Van Halen was probably the greatest of the 80s rock bands.
And they were the 80s with the hair. Yeah,
them and Motley Crue, they were kind of what defined that genre, really. And I would say Van Halen was a bigger band than them. They were in the conversation for biggest band in the world at one point
at that time,
which is crazy to think about. I know a guy who's probably now, I would guess, in his late 40s, early 50s, who has a full back VH tattoo. Like, massive.
Wow.
And he had this, like, when I was... You know, when I was like 13 and he was in his mid-20s, I guess, so he's in his 50s now for sure. He might be your age.
He's probably around my age if he got that done.
But yeah. I'm talking shoulder to waistline, the entire back is a giant, it's a Van Halen piece.
Wow.
So Van Halen was they were a big thing. And Eddie Van Halen, they had two really... notorious frontmen, but in my mind, Van Halen was great because of Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah,
I mean, they were musically very gifted, and in an era where a lot of musicians just played loud and you didn't really notice that they weren't that good, Van Halen was not one of those bands. Van Halen was there was a lot of really talented dudes in that band, and Eddie Van Halen was probably the king of them.
He was. It would have been. It was like if you'd have taken him out of that band, it would have been like Guns N' Roses without Slash. I mean, he was it. And I also think that beyond just the music, it was the whole L.A. wild-ass rock and roll lifestyle.
Yep.
And, I mean, they were one of the first great L.A. bands that came out there, and then everybody copied them. Do yourself a favor and go listen to Bullet Boys and look at their album. And they had, like, one or two hits. And they were just, like, trying so hard to be Van Halen. And that was everybody. You know, it's like... the same hair, the same moves, and it was for those of you who are too young, I mean, yeah, it was the music great all the time. Some of the songs were kind of eh. I mean, it was all about sex and rock and roll and drugs and everything else.
But it's music that doesn't really like stand the test of time.
No,
but the guitar playing does stand the test of time.
It does.
So, and Eddie Van Halen, I heard this a long time ago, and you can probably speak to it more than I can. I tried to learn how to play guitar for like a year, I just never took to it. It was hard for me to, I don't have that kind of dexterity, I guess. And my son, my younger son now has an acoustic guitar and he's trying to teach himself on YouTube how to play, which means that Smoke on the Water and
Cat Scratch Fever is the other
one. He's playing a Metallica riff, over and over. Either way, that's what he's playing all the time. But one of the things that I heard that Eddie Van Halen did differently was he held the pick between his thumb and his middle finger, and that's how he did those little taps. And I remember trying to do that, it's almost impossible. Like,
you, well, it actually, that's another thing he influenced a lot of us to do.
Is that what you yeah. play like that?
Oh yeah, and a lot of people did because you can play so much faster. And like a guy like Yngwie Malmsteen did that too, because you can play so much faster doing that. And that's, you know, and the tapping was interesting because I think there'd been guys who'd done it before. And I think Jimmy Page maybe had done it. I think one of the guys for Judas Priest had done it, but nobody had just taken it to that level. And then Josh was mentioning Brad Gillis, who even took it to a different level. He played his guitar like a piano. He used both hands on it. He's most known for replacing Randy Rhoads after he died with Ozzy. Also was in Night Ranger, which that band sucked. But I think in Eddie Van Halen's case, there's so many iconic riffs that he had too. And not just solos, but riffs that kicked into songs that you're like, you knew instantly, hey, that's Van Halen. Favorite Van Halen song?
I mean, I kind of default to, like, this is a great song, but I kind of default to Eruption just because I've never heard anything like it. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, how many people is that? And it didn't seem like it could just be one person doing it. So it always, like, I mean, again, it's not the greatest song in the world.
It's maybe the greatest pure guitar song.
I mean, it's
in the
just
world.
So cool to hear because you, like, there's got to be just a handful of people on earth who can play that way. And
I can't,
you know, and we lost one of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just mind blowing stuff. And I think you can find YouTube videos of really great guitar players trying to play Eruption and flailing away at it and not, it doesn't work. I mean, he was a freakishly talented dude, man. And a very driven dude. And, you know, being willing to throw your lead singer out and say, that's another thing. Not many bands back then could survive losing a lead singer.
Right.
But the band itself, like the Van Halen brothers, were more important to the band than the singer, which is why they were able to succeed with multiple frontmen. Where, I mean, how many bands can say that? How many bands had as much success with a totally different frontman? I mean, it's such a rare thing.
Well, nobody had that kind of success. I mean, I think, you know, Deep Purple had more than one. Rainbow had more than one. But they weren't Van Halen.
Yeah, they weren't Van Halen. I mean, he's a really talented dude, man. The world will miss it.
Well, he left a lot of music, so.
Your favorite one?
You know, that's hard. I mean, Ain't Talking About Love is up there for me. But there's also a couple from the Hagar era that, you know, I thought was fantastic. And then I think maybe my favorite one is pretty obscure. It's when they got back with David Lee Roth for two songs, and they did a song called Can't Get This Stuff No More.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just love that song.
I like Jamie's Crying,
that's
too.
That's a great one, too, yeah.
So that one hits me a little bit. I like that.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 2-1 Astros as Jorge Springer takes one out of the yard. And we're not on 92.5, right? That's the Astros.
The team. Astros are on 92.5. Okay, so, if you prefer to listen to them than us.
Yeah, so the chick was wrong. That, just said, and also on 92.5.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I was, I spent a couple minutes listening to your friends on the AM dial today just to hear how they responded to the Bill O'Brien stuff.
Are they're now allowed to say that Bill O'Brien sucked?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Now you guys can say what you really feel about him.
It was real.
Has John Harris tweeted yet?
I have not noticed. I was kind of curious because I'm not on him. Open Twitter yet?
I'll
for
check.
A whole segment, but
he has not.
Because I was kind of hoping last night, and the game was on. I was kind of hoping we were going to get Texans radio, because I really would have liked to have heard what those guys said. What
they do last night? Or are they carrying the game?
Yeah, they're carrying the game.
Yeah.
So,
well, John Harris still radio silent. So that's I'm curious what some of these guys think. Some of these Texans guys that, and I mean, obviously John's not gonna crap on him because it's his buddy.
Yeah.
But I am curious what these guys have to say now, like how they actually feel, because I don't think a lot of these guys have been able to say flat out that Bill O'Brien's a goof and that he's blowing this thing up and he's ruining this franchise.
It is kind of funny though. There are times when we're ahead of the game on things. And it's fun listening to people try to catch up now. I think this station in particular has been on the Bill O'Brien needs to go thing for a while.
Yeah.
And we've been completely honest about the guy and took some grief for it. Which, by the way, where are you, Texter, who kept telling me how great Bill O'Brien was? I think it's telling, too, that nobody said anything. I mean, the only person who even came out and remotely, and he didn't even do it very strongly because he's Tom Brady, that even remotely defended the guy was Tom Brady. There's not a single person who's come out and said, oh, this is terrible. I mean, he's a bad guy, and he made a bunch of enemies, and he was bad at his job. So, Johnny Ifing Bitcoin says AC/DC is the only band that got better with a new lead singer. Boy, I couldn't disagree with that more. Bon Scott, much greater. I mean, they had more success.
Yeah, they did have more success. They did have continued success. Like
they actually were a lot more successful because Back in Black, I think, was their most successful album, and he died before that. It was more successful than Highway to Hell, but he was not a better singer by any stretch of the imagination.
Boy, you want to hear a crazy a gambling thing that I just read? Just came across the board. DraftKings Sportsbook just took a parlay for $3 million.
Ooh.
That would pay out $8.5 million.
Wow.
Here, it's a three-leg parlay. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Packers to win the NFC North.
Okay. I like that so far.
Georgia to win SEC East. Florida's scary.
Yeah, that's a ballsy win there.
And Alabama to win SEC West.
That's pretty safe.
Pretty safe.
Yeah. Although,
who's in the NFC? What's the NFC North? The Bears are a game out, right?
That's but I don't think anybody thinks
the Vikings are dead.
Yeah, nobody thinks
the Bears are phony. Yeah.
The Bears can beat the Packers.
Georgia's really the only scary thing because I do think Florida, they're bizarro Florida. Usually Florida is like really solid on defense and can't score.
Right.
Suddenly Kyle Trask figured out how to play football, and this Pitts guy is like, he's a freak show.
Well, you knew Mullen was going to get an offense there at some point.
Well, he's got
always,
one now.
He's always had offenses, so.
But their defense,
not so good. But, you know, there's so much that we didn't get to yesterday. At some point, we'll go over all the NFL games today because we didn't get to do that yesterday. We didn't get to talk about any college football. And, man, can we do Dust in the Wind for the Big 12?
Yeah.
I mean, it's over for the Big 12, right? I mean,
I think what's hilarious is we didn't even discuss the Texans game itself yesterday.
I know.
I was talking to John Granato this morning. I was like, we didn't discuss the Texans game. We didn't discuss any other sports match that happened, you know, over the weekend. All we talked about was Bill O'Brien, and we threw in a little bit about the Astros as they were playing.
Yeah, yeah.
We made no mention of the Heat winning a game in the series, even though Jimmy Butler played magnificent basketball. They win a game and make it a series. Didn't mention it. Didn't mention any other NFL games that happened. When does that happen?
You know what, though?
What has to happen on a Monday to wipe out everything that happened over the weekend? Because that's what happened, really.
A gift. And that's what it was.
Everything that happened in that 48 hours just got wiped out.
That show was a complete gift yesterday because it happened right at 3:55. And, you know, you don't get many firings. You damn sure don't get many in the middle of the season. Well, early part of the season. And, so I think the whole thing was yesterday's show was a gift from the gods.
And AJ, a question for you. If you were the program director of the radio station that basically is owned by the Texans, how pissed are you that they didn't do it leading into your PM drive show, just smack dab in the middle when one of your competitors is about to tee off on the beginning of their show?
Yeah, I get it. But I mean, they're trying to get as close to the end of the day as possible, because if you put that out at 11 a.m., then you know,
and it gets talked about all day.
Yeah,
but the reality is the
it was such a big thing.
You want that,
obviously. Yeah, I would much rather have it. I would have much rather have it at 257 than 357 like they did.
But hey, it worked out for us.
Yep.
So, and
ooh, who's that with me?
I think that's
Bregman.
That's your boy Bregman. Ooh. Is he gonna do the stare? You gonna stare at the ball? Yeah. That'd be cute. But man, we need to talk about the Cowboys. I mean, there was just so much that got lost. So hopefully we'll get to some of that today. But college football wise, OU loses again, and I know a lot of people are on the hey, how about Lincoln Riley to the Texans? You watch those last two games?
Yeah.
Not so much. And those are not. I mean, those aren't even the teams that are supposed to be good in the conference that they've lost to. Texas with yet another. You know, Texas should have two losses already.
Yeah.
And losing to TCU, and I mean, no disrespect to TCU, that team's not that talented, AJ. You know, I watched every minute of their Iowa State game. I watched every minute of that, and it's like they're okay. They're nothing special, and you lost to them. And I mean, just the fumble at the end is just, you know, I do think at some point you have to wonder if Tom Herman's the right fit there. And I love Tom as a coach, but Tom's only success was not with his players.
Yeah.
At UH. I mean, those were Tony Levine's players. So,
yeah. That, I mean, it's crazy because he's got so much talent there right now.
Well, that's what I don't get. You look at him, and it doesn't look like TCU belongs on the field with him. They really don't.
Well, TCU's owned his ass. That's one thing. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I feel like they're going to be able to turn the season around. Losing that game is rough. And losing it the way they did, I mean, I don't feel bad for them because they stole one the game before.
Right.
But to lose, like, fumbling going into the end zone to go ahead with the lead with, like, less than a minute to go, that's up there for most painful way to lose.
Yeah, because that's just, I mean, that's the worst, right? Either that or fumbling the ball out of the end zone and where it goes out to the 20 in that situation.
Yeah.
Either one of those, it's just, it's a tough way to lose, but you're right. They didn't deserve to win the week before. So, but I mean, they're not done losing games. That team's not running the table from here.
No, I don't think so either.
So, it's disappointing because obviously OU's not OU anymore. At least not at this point. So the whole thing was wide open there for you to dive right in. You may still win the conference, but it ain't getting you to the playoff, I don't think. Oh, who knows? I mean, maybe they will run the table. They got talent, man. They just, it's just odd. They don't put it together. Harry's did put it together, though. And that's why Harry's is the best. If you're looking for a razor, how about their new sharper blades? And they didn't raise the price. They're still as low as $2 each. And you can find these new sharper blades in your big box drug and grocery stores near you. If you like to shop online, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use code KFNC at checkout on harrys.com. And so basically, guys, no risk here. They have a 100% quality guarantee. So if you don't like it, you're going to get your $3 back. It's that simple. And you can get them out in any of the stores now. I see them out all the time. But you can just head over to the grooming aisle. But if you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer just for the Blitzers. New customers are going to get $5 off a Harry's trial set with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a five-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout to give Harry's sharper blades a try. That's harrys.com, code KFNC.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I've been around.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Glenn Davis says, don't lie, you both went for beers at Van Halen show when Eddie did his 15-minute guitar solo. I did not. There's only two solos that I always made sure I was there for. Eddie's guitar solo and Neil Peart's drum solo with Rush. Everything else, yeah, that's when you go get beer.
I love when these things trend on Twitter. So right now, Hakeem is trending on Twitter because someone, Hoop Central, said, who's better all time? And they posted a picture of Tim Duncan and Hakeem. And it's literally split 50-50. No one's saying, man, it's really close. These guys were both great. Everybody's like, this is disrespectful to Hakeem.
Oh my
this
God.
Is disrespectful to Tim Duncan. I promise you it's disrespectful to neither guy. Yeah. I mean, they are too, they're both in the discussion. And Tim Duncan is, to me, the undisputed best power forward ever.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, do you count him as a center or a power forward? Because he played both. I kind of think of him as a power forward, as do you. But that's not disrespectful to anybody. In fact, that is a legitimate conversation to have. And, you know, I think Tim Duncan was a little underappreciated.
I think he certainly is.
Because I think Pop got a lot of credit for all that. But they haven't done anything since he's been gone. And even at the end of his career, they were better. But yeah, that's not disrespectful to anybody. Come on, it would be nice. But that's the problem. That's our society, AJ. You throw something out there like that, and you have to think this, or you have to think this, and the other guy's trash. Disrespectful. And by the way, can we just get rid of the whole disrespectful thing? Oh my God, your children.
Duncan has the better career. Hakeem is the better basketball player. Duncan is a downgraded version of Hakeem. Let's not start with this.
Oh, come on.
What are we doing? Mm. I mean. Hey, man. Yeah. Two all-time greats. I don't think there's a wrong answer. Tim Duncan, Tim Duncan had a longer prime.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. He,
granted, Hakeem picked up basketball later in life and you know, it wasn't a.
Well, he was certainly the more explosive player, but for a shorter period of time.
Yeah.
Duncan was just as solid as they come for as long as, for almost his entire career. And, yeah, I hate stuff like that. I mean, I'd like having that discussion because I think that's a legitimate discussion to have. And Hakeem's always going to be maybe my favorite player of all time for a lot of reasons because he was a UH guy and, you know, got the Rockets the two titles. And, you know, but that's easy as a fan to sit here and say, oh, Hakeem was the greatest. But when you look at both of them, And I really came to appreciate Tim Duncan a lot later in his career. Just the impact he had on a game that was as quiet as you'll ever see a superstar. But if you're just watching possession after possession, the things he did to help them win basketball games, it's not flashy like Jordan or even Hakeem's dream shake or things like that, but just the little hook off the glass, off a rebound, and little tiny things that he would do that he was just so good at. And that's why he was able to play as long as he did, because even, you know, physically, even as he slowed down, the instincts were still there and he was still able to make plays. So, you know, yeah, I couldn't separate them. I'd take either one of them right now in their prime.
Yeah.
And say, let me start a team and I'll be happy with either
one.
Even
in an age where a big isn't as useful, I think you'd find use in both of them still.
And hey, can I dispel another thing that I keep getting texted about? The Patriots did not send Bill O'Brien to the Texans to ruin the organization. The Patriots give a rat's ass about the Texans.
But yeah, the Texans aren't on their radar.
Oh, my God. So
I will say, if the Duncan versus Hakeem argument is getting you that worked up on a Tuesday afternoon, your life is pretty damn good.
Yeah,
you don't have a lot to worry about.
Yeah. Or your life's pathetic that you have to get upset
over. Our life
is
a lot better now. I mean, let's face it.
Oh, this is the best thing that could have ever happened to us.
Yeah, I mean, this is the crazy thing. Everyone bitches at me on Twitter.com and bitches about me on Twitter.com. Fred gets some of this. Fred's not considered as negative as I am. Like, people don't think Fred hates the city. But for whatever reason, people think I hate this city because I hated Bill O'Brien. Like, the things, you get those things
mixed
up.
You also hate James Harden.
That's true. but it's not that I hate, like, something can, I'm not one of these guys who is a ride or die with a jersey. Like, if you've got a logo, I'm not riding or dying with you. Like, if you've got players that I like, you've got a coach that I like, I will cheer for your team. And you can call me a front runner. You can call me wishy-washy. You can call me a fair weather fan. I don't care. I'm not, you know what I call someone who cheers for something that they know is not going to win and that they don't even like? Like those 13,000 people that went out to the Texans game pretending like they want Bill O'Brien to succeed. I call you guys idiots. That's a dope move. My love for the Texans is the opposite of the stock market right now. Like the Dow Jones has dropped I don't even know how many points in the last hour, but it's a lot. My love for the Texans in the last 24 hours, skyrocketing. And I still got a lot of questions about if Deshaun's any good. And really, it doesn't change. I don't think the team is very good. I don't think they're a very good team. They don't have a lot of players that are very good right now. They've got – their situation isn't great. But overall, the Texans as a franchise, they rank higher with me now than they did 24 hours ago. Or, well, now 25 hours ago. So, yeah. It's not that I hate things Houston. I just hated Bill O'Brien. I'm a super positive guy about the Texans relative to what I was last week. I mean, I still don't think they're very good, but they're at least worth cheering for now. You know, when you don't have a draft pick, there's no point in saying, well, I hope they lose every game because you don't get the reward for that. Yet I still wanted the Texans to lose every game because I hated Bill O'Brien. And now I don't.
There was no way to get rid of him unless he did.
Now I don't have to cheer for them to lose every game. I'll actually watch the Texans and say, man, they're playing the Jags, who I don't have any love for the Jags. I now hope the Texans beat the Jags. I'm not gambling on that game, so I don't have a betting interest, and I don't care about the Jags. So I hope the Texans beat them because, well, the Texans are here in the city that I live in, and I would rather see them win than lose. In most instances, when Bill O'Brien was the coach, I would have sat on my couch on Sunday actively hoping that they would lose the game because Bill O'Brien is an adult and had fooled so many people into thinking he was a good coach and fooled fewer people, but important people into thinking he was a good GM. And now I don't have that weight on my shoulders anymore. It's very nice. It's very freeing, Fred. It's like taking your bra off. At the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't know why. Well, I know a lot of the listeners don't get on me as much for my O'Brien hate as they do you, but I guarantee you that the people over on Kirby get on me an awful lot about it because I've been consistent. I think the guy is a dictator. He's a bully. He's a con man. And you know what? He finally got caught bluffing.
Yeah.
And to me, I've been out on the guy for a while. In watching the games and having to write about those turds every week, I've had to write the same column four times this year, AJ. Four times. You know how many times I had to write it last year? Six times. I mean, it gets old because they're so predictable. And this guy that everybody thinks is an offensive mind was nothing. It's like you could sit there and obviously when you watch a team enough, you know what plays are coming. I mean, that's all of us can do that. Anybody who watches a team long enough could sit there at the TV and say, oh, they're doing this. Do you know how often that they would line up in a certain way and then run something completely opposite of what I thought happened? And I mean, I'm just a dude watching on TV. You don't think a defensive coach has figured that out. And I mean, I didn't like the guy personally, and I'm not piling on now because I've been piling on now for almost 4 years on this. And I've told you how he could keep his damn job. Go get real coordinators who know how to call plays. Did he do that? No, he surrounded himself with a bunch of yes men. And that's why I have a real problem with, okay, that's great that you made this move, but how much is your offense going to change when you've just got one of your sycophants who's poor man's Bill O'Brien calling the plays? That's why I'm saying go out and find you a good consultant. There's coaches out of work right now. Just bring them on to come in and say and make some suggestions. Hey, here's how you might use Deshaun better. Here's how you might simplify things.
Now there's people saying all the things that I hate.
Yeah.
You also hate Alex Bregman. I hate Alex Bregman less than I used to.
But I mean,
I don't know if hate is the right word anymore.
I just think he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gotten less douchey, so I give him credit for that, although he was a better ball player when he was a douchebag, I notice. I think that the trash can thing has humbled him probably more than any other Astro. He was humbled by that, and I think he could have used that.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else does it say I hate? You also don't like Deshaun Watson. I don't dislike Deshaun Watson. I dislike people saying that Deshaun Watson is one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the league when he's done nothing to show that. That's all. AJ also hates Travis Scott. I don't hate Travis Scott. I don't care. Travis Scott's not on my radar. Although Travis Scott more on my radar than this J Balvin. The new, like, Travis Scott had a meal at McDonald's. I don't know who J Balvin is. Am I that old? Am I lost? I must be completely out of touch now that their rappers are getting meals at McDonald's. I've never heard of J Balvin.
I know his name. Tell me to actually name a song. I don't know.
What's his
maybe that makes me.
What's his biggest hit on Spotify? While we go through some other things that I apparently hate. Let's see. AJ hates the Be Someone sign. That's not true. AJ hates everything except Golden State and Austin in the 90s. I don't think that I do like the Warriors now, but guess what? When those players go away, I won't care about the Warriors anymore. Austin in the 90s, I didn't hate that at all. AJ hates the Galleria. I mean, I hate malls in general.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I hate the traffic out here too that we have to deal with.
AJ hates the Astrodome. That's true now. Was not true in 1986. Is true in 2020.
But you were not on the air here in 1986.
I was not.
You were like four.
AJ hates Mike Jones. Also false. AJ hates Lean. I don't hate Lean. AJ hates all Papa's restaurants. That's false. I think Papacito's is overrated, but Papa Dough is one of my favorites. I'm all for that. So I don't hate all those. That's a lie. AJ hates salad. That's not true either. There's some salads I don't prefer. I don't love salad, but I eat my share of salad. I don't hate salad. AJ hates the rodeo. That's a tough one for me. I like the idea of the rodeo. I hate listening to concerts at the rodeo because the sound quality is terrible and you never get a good show there. How about that?
It's not bad when you sit in the press box.
I also hate that the rodeo is like, I mean, it's impossible to park. I just don't go to the rodeo here. You know what I don't hate? I don't hate a rodeo in small town Texas, USA. I'd go to that. The Houston Rodeo and Livestock Show, not my scene.
The Hitchcock, the Pasadena Rodeo, all those.
I'd go to that.
They're small.
I've actually done that occasionally the last couple. And I actually went to one in Kyle, Saskatchewan, and it was great, man.
I would go to that.
It was like, you know, 50 people in the stands at most. And, you know, that was fun. And it's guys who are really struggling to try to get to the next level. I enjoy things like that. But
AJ hates James Harden. Don't we all? Yeah. Well, yeah.
AJ hates parades. That's true.
I do hate parades. And that's not just sports parades. I hate any parade. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of so many things. And it creates unnecessary traffic. Parades are the stupidest. Let's see. AJ hates AJ. That's absolutely false. AJ hates Houston barbecue. That's also false. AJ hates Rosie O'Donnell. I don't think that's necessarily true. I don't love Rosie O'Donnell. I just don't. I don't care for her all that much. AJ hates plain baked potatoes. I just think it's weird to eat a plain baked potato. I don't hate them. I've never had a baked potato with no toppings on it. I just think to eat a baked potato like an apple is an odd thing. AJ hates tortas and pastor tacos. Absolutely false. So there's a lot of things that people are just wrong about. I like more stuff than you guys think.
A lot of people saying you love Justin Tucker, you love Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I like those things. And guess what I don't hate anymore? The Houston Texans. Look at that. Look how easy it was. Now, here's the thing about my hate. It fluctuates. It can come and go, my friends. And that's the thing about being a sports mercenary. I've got no loyalty to anyone. And you could do one thing tomorrow. Like, if the Texans decided tomorrow, we're announcing our new head coach, Rex Ryan, I would hate the Texans again immediately. So it can come and go like the wind. But right now, what's the date today?
October 6th.
October 6th, 2020. I don't hate the Texans.
The Warriors trade Steph and Clay in a package deal for Joel Embiid and a future first-round pick. How much do you hate the Warriors?
I don't hate them, but I definitely don't cheer for them anymore. I mean, they're idiots. They're a bonehead organization at that point. I guess I'd like the Sixers all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I'd become a Sixers fan. I'm very disloyal. I do hate gout.
You don't hate Texas Star Grill Shop, though?
I love Texas Star Grill Shop.
I was about to set him up for that. Yeah. Thanks for just stepping
on.
Guess
what? I don't just love them because I speak for them. I love them because that's where I got my grill. And I got my, and guess what else I love? My Pits and Spits grill. Oh, the controller on that thing is so good. Listen, there's some grills out there. You can buy some of these pellet grills, and they're convenient, and that's what I love about mine. The walls on those grills are paper thin. There's no way they can hold the heat. This Pits and Spits that I got from Texas Star Grill Shop, thick steel. The temperature, I set it. That's where it stays, damn it. It's not fluctuating like some of these other grills with the paper-thin walls. This is a man's grill, boys. And if you don't like that, they got something for you. They got Napoleon. They got Memphis. They got Traeger. Kamado Joe they've got. They got it all, baby. And you can get it, too, during the fall grill sale at Texas Star Grill Shop. Free delivery, free assembly. Check them out. They're in Katy. They're in Houston. They're in Spring. But they're always open online at TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Crank that up for a second. Whoops, error. It's a pretty good pull here.
Some more things I hate. AJ hates when his kids are inside. That is true. Go outside and play. Get out of my house. AJ hates people stealing his mail. I think everyone does that.
As long as I get my junk mail, I'm okay with that.
AJ hates Josh Ennis. Not true. AJ hates wrestling. Not true. I just don't watch wrestling. AJ hates the Baytown Badass. Not true. He's given a lot of joy to my life, honestly.
Oily stool.
AJ hates gout again, and that's still true. AJ hates seat recliners. Fact.
Yeah.
AJ hates black socks. That's false. I prefer black socks. I don't know if I even own any white socks. Yeah, so a lot more hate. AJ secretly hates hair bands. It's not a secret. I often tell Fred that there's some of these bands that Fred loves, and I'm like, oh, I don't like that music. I don't keep a secret about what music I like and don't. I don't hate all these hair metal bands, though. I just hate some hair metal bands. AJ hates when his wife breaks a window.
But who likes that, dude? But who likes that, though? I let's be fair. If you're going to get on him for something, how many of you like it when your wife breaks a window?
Nobody likes that. AJ hates Pro Dunks hoops. That's not true at all. AJ hates the Houston Dynamo. I don't hate the Dynamo. I don't really like soccer. I will say the Dynamo. I heard this week that the Dynamo on Saturday, you're not even going to be able to watch their game in English. Like, the only way you'll be able to see him is on Univision.
So I don't get to hear Glenn Davis do the call?
You don't get to hear Glenn Davis do the call.
Well, that sucks.
Like, you're a pro sports franchise. You're not on the air, on television, or radio. That's crazy. AJ hates when them hoes ain't loyal. Depends on the hoes.
But who doesn't? Again.
AJ hates Dickens Cider. I don't know what that is, even. AJ hates Bob the Builder. Not really. Mm. Bob the Builder was just a really weird show. It feels like you're doing drugs when you watch it. AJ hates that Roger Staubach wasn't Trey's mom. I think you mean Roger Staubach. I don't hate that it's not. I don't hate that Roger Staubach isn't Trey's mom, because that would be weird if Roger Staubach was a mom. AJ hates hair metal bands because AJ hates hair. Not totally. I don't hate hair. AJ hates that Mexican dude he beat up. I kind of did hate that guy, honestly, if I'm being totally honest. He wasn't my favorite.
Well, there you go.
Oh, now I get the cider joke.
Okay. But
yeah. I feel like it should be Dixon cider, not Dickens. Dixon would make the joke funnier. Dixon. That'd be better.
What are we, paging Mike? Never mind.
Right. AJ hates white magic. I don't hate white magic. White magic just, I like, white magic can't stop thinking about me. So he calls other shows and talks about me, which is really funny. But I don't give a damn about that guy. AJ hates Holly. No, that's not true. I hate some of the things that Holly represents, like girls in sports media who want to be taken seriously, but then post like bra and panty pictures with their sports takes, so they'll be taken seriously as sports people. I do hate that, and Holly does represent that, and I hate that Holly does that, but I don't hate Holly. AJ hates cartoons. That's not true.
Well, adult cartoons, yeah, because you refuse to watch one of the greatest shows ever because it's a cartoon.
That doesn't mean I hate them, though. I don't have time to watch cartoons. AJ hates the bathroom at the radio station. That's true.
You hate when streaming shows drop week by week instead of all at once.
I hate that. I hate that.
Friday, you need to get all eight episodes.
Yeah,
of the Boys.
To get caught up on that show, okay. Because episodes 6 and 7 have been two of the best in the entire series by far. So
AJ hates traveling to foreign countries. That's not really true either. I'm not a person who it depends on the foreign country. I've got a list of places I'll go and places I won't. If you're trying to if you think I'm crazy for that, that's fine. And my list of countries I would go to, probably shorter than most people. But I had a great time in England.
Yeah, and
I had
Belgium,
a great time in Belgium.
Yeah.
AJ hates traveling to non-white countries. There's some white countries that I won't travel to, like Russia. I've got no interest in going to Russia. Ton of white people there. No interest. None. Zero. Not going. AJ hates Joel. Not true. AJ hates Lance. Not true. I don't hate anybody who works here. I do hate Malort.
All right. Yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. Everybody hates Malort.
I think we're all on board with that, except for whoever it was that created that thing.
Josh sent a thing that's got, there's like a Malort seltzer.
Oh, no.
I don't know where we get it at, but it does look gross. Who hit that?
Machete!
So
4-2 Astros, top 5.
All right, 4-2.
Boy, Bob Melvin, I bet underneath that mask, he looks pissed.
It's like, how do you give up a home run to the catcher?
This is no surprise. The Astros beating up this team, I didn't care that they had lost more than they'd won against Oakland. I said, if the A's win the series against the White Sox, the Astros are going to the ALCS. I was one of the few that were glad. I think, Fred, you may have been on that board, too. That I didn't want them to play the White Sox.
Right, I didn't. I thought the White Sox would be a tougher
matchup.
The White
Sox, I think, were the better team than the A's, and the A's beat them in that hokey 3-game series, and good for them. This was the best thing.
The A's are also perennial playoff jokers, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another reason you wanted them.
The Astros have really lucked out on
this
run, getting the Twins and the A's, who have a combined, like, 2 or 3 playoff wins in the last 20 years. I don't know how that's happened, but good for them.
All right, quick break. Hour one in the books. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.